verse of scripture to you in just a moment. I want to pray before we do that. Father, I thank you, God, for your grace and your love upon every life, every heart here today. I pray that you'd be honored. I pray that you'd be glorified. In the name of Jesus, I ask it. And everyone said, amen. I read the story, and I want to just talk to you this morning a little bit about Transformed. I won't be long this morning. A little out of practice here. I thought I was going to lose my job after Ryan spoke, and then Mike Cavanaugh spoke, and everybody said, oh, take as much time off as you want, preacher. Everything is fine. And so I thought I better shine up a little bit here. I better show up and really give up this morning. So will you help me today? Will you help me? Amen. Rufus, will you help me today? All right. I read this story, but I loved it. It said a man was being tailgated by a stressed out woman on a busy boulevard. And I know none of those ladies are here this morning. Suddenly, the light turned yellow just in front of him, and he did the right thing. He stopped at the crosswalk, and even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection, he stopped. The tailgating woman was furious. She honked her horn. She was screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection, dropping her cell phone and her makeup. As she was still in a mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked up into the face of a very serious police officer. The police ordered her to exit her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After a couple hours, a policeman approached the cell, opened the door, and she was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal effects. He said, I'm very sorry for this mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you and cussing like a sailor. I noticed the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker, the Choose Life license plate holder, the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. And naturally, I assume you had stolen the car. She hadn't quite been transformed yet. And you and I, God intends for you and I to be, our lives to be transformed, not just to be conformed or informed or for some deformed, but to be transformed. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, he says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, a lot of people go on in their life and they're trying to be better and they're trying to be good and they're trying to live up to some measure that somebody has told them. And if you do this and you act like this, then God will like you and maybe he will love you. And in turn, then we relate that as to how we even relate to others. Actually, we do the same thing in looking for a spouse or a mate in our lives. Because there is a couple different ways. There's the world's way of doing that, and then there's God's way of doing it. The world's way says, find the right person. The world's way then says, fall in love. The world's way says, fix all your hopes and your dreams on that person. And then the world's way says, if failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. And don't we live in a culture like that, that we go through these things in our lives and we talk to people and we experience it all the time because we're not allowing a transformation to happen in our lives that can accept who God has called and created us to be. But God's way says it this way. He said, don't look for the right person, become the right person. He said, don't look to fall in love, walk in love. If God is love and God lives in us, then we have the propensity and the capacity to love. He says, don't fix your dreams and your hopes on somebody else, but fix all your hopes and dreams on God. And then if failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. And see what he has for you. And let that transform you into a new you. And in fact, Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 19, he says, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. In verse 20, he says, that, however, is not the way of life that you and I learned. Verse 21 says, when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life. And everyone in here has that. You have a former way of life. He says to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And I had my shoulder operated on. It'll be 2 weeks this coming Tuesday. I wanted to use an illustration. I have an old pair of coveralls at home. I've had them for a long time. I only let my wife wash them once every few months because I just like them dirty and raspy and farmy looking and smelling. I mean, they don't have the same ambiance if I don't have that. When I was going to bring them in here and I was going to put that on to show you a former way of life, of living, I couldn't get my shoulder kind of up and around there. But he says, you got to put off that in verse 33 and be made new in the attitude of your minds and put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And some people, when they hear that, they say, well, I just can't do that. That's not me. Or I am just the way I am and I'll never change. And if I had a nickel for every time I heard somebody say, well, that's just the way I am. It may be the way you are, but it doesn't mean that has to be the way you stay. God's plan is to transform your mind and your life, working on the inside out, and to make you a brand new person. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and 13 that I can do all things. Come on today. Through Christ who strengthens me. And this just isn't some sweet verse that sounds good in preaching or some poetic verse that we quote all the time. This is true in our lives because we can't do things on our own. But with Christ, we can do all things. We can be who he's called us to be. And not just because the Bible says so. It's because he lives in us and he empowers us through his Holy Spirit to be what we could never be in our own strength and our own ability. Because, listen to this, Christianity isn't just a learned behavior. Our God is not someone just to be understood. He is someone to be, to experience. Because when he comes and he lives inside of us, there is a transformative work that takes place in our life. And he causes us to do things that we never dreamed we could do. Oh, praise God. I had some guys helping me yesterday at my house. And I went out to see him and I said, you guys want a cup of coffee? And one of the guys says, yeah, I'll have one. And the other guy says, not really. I said, you'll want this cup of coffee. Because it came hand-delivered to me from Ethiopia. And they said, oh, yeah, we'll take that. How did you get coffee from Ethiopia? I said, it pays to be a part of a church who dreams and has mission workers going out all over the world. Doing something and being a part of something that you could never dream about doing. It's not even what you can do. I'm going to do better, I'm going to be better, I'm going to act better. It's because of what he has done for us. Although there is a point where you have to learn to shut off some of the old stuff and press in and begin to move in the direction of being who God has called you to. But you and I cannot do it in our own strength, in our own ability. You can't. And he didn't just talk about it. Jesus shows us how to do it by modeling his life to us, by doing it for us first, by going to the cross, by shedding his blood, by conquering death, hell, and the grave, and then rising again on the third day. And he sends his Holy Spirit to live inside of us that we can be the people and the children of God. Hallelujah. And he gives us these five commitments that he has made for us. And when you hear these, they become a part of who you are. And they begin to increase the capacity of who you are as an individual. Listen, my capacity inside of me, and I'm not just talking about you know, my size here. I'm talking about the way I think, the way I perceive things, things that would bother me, things that would just tear me up several years ago have no effect on me anymore because my capacity has increased because of what he has done, not because of what I can do. And he's never intended for you just to do what he says. He's intended for you to be who he has called you and created you to be. And if you would fall in love with him more today, and if you would serve him, if you would know his word and let it become a part of you, you will begin to see that transformative power working inside and through your life today. Number one, he commits to put you first. I'm going to share these 5 points with you and I'm going to be done. I'm like the steer that was trying to get out of the barnyard. 5 more points and I'll be out of here. Number one, you all are a little uptight today. Is it because you haven't had enough coffee? You've had too little sleep? What is it here this morning? We got the coffee thing fixed for you in the back. How many of you like coming in and seeing that coffee out there today? Thank you, ladies, for handling that. Number one, he commits to put you first. And we can put him first because he put us first. John, 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. He did that for you and I first. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. He showed us. He didn't just tell us what to do. He showed us what we can do. And he did it so I can do it as well. He showed you about committing and putting you first. So now I not only can put him first, but I can put others first as well in my life. Do you know something? When I learn to put others first, I find out that then God puts me first in a lot of things. He commits to put you first. Second, he commits to pursue you. We don't wait for a feeling to pursue him. That's the world's way. And some of you, he was pursuing you this morning right in the middle of the worship service. And some of you, you just strong-armed him right out of your life. You felt him and you said, not now, God, instead of yielding to him and letting him become a part of your life. And he just wants to have that relationship with you to be a part of who you are. Guys, she's okay with me. Nobody is bothering me here at all. She's fine. I love her being right there. You are beautiful today, too. Have I told you or anybody tell you that today? Yeah, well, I'm telling you, you're beautiful. Isn't she beautiful? Guys, she's okay. Unless she has to go, then okay. I don't want to stop the flow up here or anything. Revelation 3:20 says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and you open the door, he said, I'll come in and we will share a meal together as friends. He is pursuing you today. Aren't you happy about that? And you know what I found out about him? He doesn't just pursue you when you're ready for him. He's always looking for you. You may be running as fast as you can from him today. You may be in the church today. You may be wondering, how in the world did I end up here? I want to tell you something right now. He is pursuing you. He's on a hot pursuit to get a hold of your life and to let you know he loves you so much. Come on, if you're going to clap for him, give it all you got today. And he never waits for you to get it all right to pursue you. He's pursuing you in the midst of the worst moments of your life. The worst. I've told this story before when God was drawing me in. I'll never forget. I had an alcohol problem at the time. I'll never forget going into a dirty little bar out in the middle of nowhere. I thought, God won't find me here. And in walked some guy from the Salvation Army taking an offering at the bar. I said, God, where can I run to? And you can't find me. He was pursuing me that. He wasn't only pursuing. And I'll never forget that dude standing right up in front of me and holding that plate. How much you going to give? Right in the bar. I pulled out everything here. I know God's watching me right now. But I'm just telling you, he's pursuing you no matter where you are, no matter what's up in your life. He loves you. And number three, he's committed to choosing you. He chose you. God committed to choose you even when you weren't choosing him. because he considers you to be his very own. 1 Peter 2:9, he says, you are a chosen people, a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Preach it. See, I prayed over him. Got that preaching anointing coming all over him this morning. I'm going to get this out. I don't care who does what here this morning. Ain't nobody bothering me. I'm feeling good. He's committed. And he's beautiful, too. Just want to say that. He's committed to choosing you. God chose you. He didn't choose you. And then when you didn't meet up with his expectation, unchoose you. Hear this morning. He didn't choose you just when you were good. He chose you when you weren't good. He didn't choose you when you did everything right. He chose you when you were doing everything you shouldn't do. He didn't choose you on the best day of your life. He chose you on the worst day of your life. Oh, yes, he did. You know, I was thinking about this today. I was thinking about, you know, family and my boys. There were another preacher going out the door there. Come on. I'm driving them right out of the church this morning. I remember my boys at certain times in their life, believe it or not, they got a little sideways in some things and got in some trouble. I never had to bail them out of jail or anything like that. Praise the Lord. Not that I remember anyways. I have to think about it a little bit. Maybe. No, I don't think I did. But at that moment, my love for them didn't change because they didn't meet my certain expectations. My love for them increased at that moment because of the lack of what they were called to be at that moment. They weren't meeting the need. They weren't meeting the expectation. They weren't doing exactly what they were called or supposed to do. But at that moment, I didn't love them less because of something that they did or didn't do at that moment in their life. In fact, I loved them even more right then. And that's what God does with you and I. He doesn't just choose you at a certain moment in your life when everything is good. He chooses you at a moment when everything is not good. You know how I know that? Because he's done that for me. In the darkest and the blackest times of my life, there he is for me. There he is reaching out to me. And I didn't choose him. He committed to me. When he gave his life for you, he didn't just do it for a particular time of the year, month, or day. He did it, and he did it for eternity's sake. He chose you and loved you and committed to you, whether you are good, bad, whether you're from one side of the tracks or the other. God loves you today, and he chose you. He chose you. John 15. It's not on the screen. In verse 15, he says, no longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you my friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Verse 16, you did not choose me, I chose you, God said. If you got one of them bumper stickers that say, I found it, take it off your car. You didn't find anything. He found you. You are not here by some mistake. You didn't just wander in. God, somebody prayed for you, and a supernatural work of God came upon your life one day, and he laid his hand on you and drew you by his Spirit. And I don't know how it works, but you gave your heart to the Lord, and I did too, because he chose you. Yes, he did. And then he goes on to say, he not only chose you, he appointed you that you go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And then he says, I command you that you are called to love one another. You see, you're not just chosen just to go around with a big cross on your neck and wearing a t-shirt with a scripture on it. He calls you, he chooses you to go and love others, to go and do something and be what you never thought you could be. Oh, I'm getting happy up in here. Two more points and I'm done. Number four, He commits to protecting you, even when we trip up and even when we create the mess, God is there to help you through it. And I got to tell you this morning, the 8 out of 10 storms that I've been in through in my life, I'm the man that created the whirlwind. But I can also tell you that even in my lack, even in my folly, even in my stupidity, he was there. He committed to protecting me. He covered me. He saved me. He plugged me out of the miry pit. He set my feet on a solid rock. He cleaned me up. He dusted me off. He said, okay, you fell this one time. You're going to get back up and go out and do it again. And next time, you're going to go farther and do more than you ever called, than you ever thought you could. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times, but he gets back up again. He commits to protecting you. Psalm 121, 7 says, the Lord will protect you from all dangers. He will guard your life. And not just because you're good or you act good. He loves you that much. He cares for you that much. And not only him protecting me, but when he calls you and chooses you and appoints you and protects you, he calls you to help protect one another. And nothing gives me more joy than to stand with people that others have written off. There's just something about that in my life that I like to do. And if I had a nickel for every time somebody came to me and said, I can never go back to church. You'll never let me go back. I said, you not only can come back to the church, I want you to come down and sit right next to where I'm sitting. And sometimes if you see somebody sitting there, you wonder, well, who is that? You just know that they're on the beginning stages of an incredible comeback in their life. And we get to be and have the front row seat to see what God is going to do in and through their lives today. Whoa, come on today. Love helping people, protect them. And nobody comes up to me anymore. People used to come up, oh, did you know about so-and-so? And had you heard about this? Nobody comes to me with that anymore. You want to know why? Because I choose to protect people. I don't want to see through you. I want to see you through. I want to believe the best in you. Amen. Come on, you ought to clap better than that. That is the call of God on our lives today. We are here to help people. Not to tear them down. Okay, you messed up. Yep. And I'm not going to leave you in the mess. I'm going to tell you, hey, you can't go down that road again. I'm going to give you the 1 through 5. You want to straighten out, you do this, you try this, you go here, you do this, and you stay away from that. If you don't do that, you're going to face it on your own. Because that night, I'm going home with the blonde. I mean that. I want to help people that others have written off. And last, he commits to cleansing you. I like this. You're going to blow it. Maybe this week, maybe last week, maybe even today, maybe before you came here, you got in an argument with your spouse. I don't know. But he's going to help you get out of it. Oh, I like this about the Lord. You know, people always say, well, they're going to get theirs. Oh, they're... And you're the one that just drives me up when Christians say, karma's going to happen to them. Karma is not in here. If it was, there wouldn't be a person sitting in here today. Because that means you get what you deserve. And nobody got today what they would deserve. Every one of us deserves death. We were all born in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You don't get what you deserve. When Jesus went to the cross, he took your sin and mine. He paid for it when he was nailed to the cross, shed his blood, and rose again on the 3rd day. And because of that, you can live and have life and have it more abundantly. Come on. That's the truth this morning. But he's committed to cleansing you. He's committed to cleaning you up. Micah 7:18 says, who is a God like you? I love this verse. He pardons your iniquities and he passes over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Who is God that can do that? Do you know he's committed to you on the day? He's as committed to you on the day that you failed as he is on the day of your best life. He is just as committed to you. Oh, I love that. Oh, who's a God like that? 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm going to close with this verse. This is the Good News Translation. I love this. He says, every test that you have experienced is the kind that normally comes to people. Did you know that? That you're not going through anything that somebody else hasn't gone through? He said, but God keeps his promise, and he will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. And at the time you are put to the test, he will give you strength. Everybody say, he strengthens me. Come on, say it with some bombast. Say, he strengthens me. He will give you strength to endure and provide you with a way out of it. Woo, come on today. He's going to get you out of that mess. He's going to help you through that. He's not going to just get you out to get you out. He's going to get you out to purge you, to clean you, to help you. He chose you. He's fixing the wrongs in your life. He's not just getting you out so you don't get penalized this time, just so you can go into it again. When he transforms you, he gets you out of the mess, and then he changes your life so you won't be the mess anymore. You'll be someone to help someone else out of the mess. That's what he calls you and I to do. Oh, come on. Let's give him thanks today for his word. Come on, give him a great praise. Give God a great praise. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you all stand on your feet just for a moment, if you can, if you're able. Prayer folk, come on down to the altar. I'm going to close in prayer. Close your eyes, bow your head. Today, for some of you, you've never given your life to Christ, and you need to do that before you leave today. Oh, you can go on. You can continually, you can muddle through. You can try. You can try to be good. You can try to change. You can try all those things. But unless he is Lord and the master of your life, you're never going to make it like he has called you to make it. And he can help you. You just have to say yes to him. Say, but Pastor, I'm not good enough yet. You're right. And you never will be. But he doesn't care about that. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you help. I'll deposit my life and my love inside of you. I'll change you. And Patty and I were praying this morning for someone who you may be hurting in your life. Maybe something's broken. Maybe today you need healing in your body. Maybe you need healing in your heart. Maybe you need healing in your mind. Something is just going on in and around you. Susie Gagne, I want you to come down, stand in the front here too. Some of you are just struggling with just a mental anguish in your life today. I want you to know he is committed to you. He has experienced that. He can help you. He can transform you to be the person that you never dreamed you could be. Just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed, just for a moment. And when we start in our new series at Easter, Changed, every service we're going to have a testimony of a life that has been changed by the love and the glorious power of God. You'll want to hear that. You'll want to see that. You want to be a part of that. And they're all over here. It's hard to pick. Who are we going to use? What person? But he wants to change you today. He wants to live inside of you and make you into the person he has called and created you to be. You need to give your life to him first. Then secondly, for some of you may be just struggling in life, and he just wants to help you through that. He wants to help you to get to the other side. Maybe it's a husband and a wife. Maybe there's no passion in your home anymore. Maybe there's no life. Maybe you're just existing together, and God never called you to that. He's called you to a greater level. You can go to places and you can experience things you never dreamed of if you'll trust him with your life today. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you, and while I'm praying, if you want to, just if I touched on any of those or if I didn't touch, you just want somebody to pray over you, I want you to come to the front. We're going to close. I'm going to release you. Just as I'm closing in prayer today, I'd be at the back today, but my shoulder is still a little sore, and I love you. I'm just a little cautious of it, so if you'd excuse me in that, hug one another, stop at that table in the back, have some fellowship, get to know someone, be a blessing in somebody's life today. I want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, be Lord in every single life today. Continue to do what only you could do in our lives, God. God, I pray that you would deliver, you'd set free. And God, for some of those that have never made you their Lord and Savior, that this will be the first day of the rest of their life. I pray blessing over your people today. In Jesus' name I ask it. And everyone said amen. I love you. Go in his grace today. If you need prayer, you come on down. Some have already come. He's got a plan for your life today. Go in his grace today.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.